And let's take our Bibles this morning and open up with me, if you will. And let's go today to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. This being Father's Day, we are interrupting our series of messages on Joshua. That way we can kind of focus on dads a little bit this morning. And the message this morning is going to be in the same vein as what the Mother's Day message was. It's just tweaked and different places to look at in Scripture aimed at dad. As you're turning to Proverbs chapter 23, according to Hallmark, the people that ought to know, the very first Christmas, the very first Father's Day card that was ever sent was a Babylonian youth named Elmesu who carved the first known Father's Day card in clay nearly 4,000 years ago. And in that card, he wished his dad good health and a long life. William Jackson Smart of Spokane, Washington, is actually the inspiration for modern-day Father's Day celebrations. He was a widower and a Civil War veteran, and he was both father and mother to his six children for 21 years after the death of his wife. His daughter, Sonora Louise Dodd, got her idea about Father's Day while sitting in church, and you know how your mind wanders sometimes? It was Mother's Day. And that's where she got the idea. Sitting in church on Mother's Day, listening to the Mother's Day sermon, and she thought, we need to have a Father's Day. And so this is in 1909. She encouraged local churches to institute a Father's Day. And by 1910, the very first one was celebrated in June, the month of her father's birth. Through her efforts, interest in Father's Day began to grow, but it did not become official until 1972, when President Nixon signed the proclamation declaring the third Sunday of the month of June as Father's Day. 1972, what took them so long? I mean, come on, Mother's Day had been around for a while. From Hallmark, as well as from other sources, we find that Father's Day does not rank quite as highly as Mother's Day. For instance, Lifeway research shows that on Father's Day is the single lowest average church attendance. Huh. Mother's Day is the third highest church attendance. Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. Father's Day is at the bottom of the list. It's even farther down the list than Memorial Day, Labor Day, and the 4th of July. That's how poorly attended it is for church services for dads coming to church on Father's Day. $28.1 billion was spent for mothers in 2021. It has been projected that dads are going to get shortchanged again this year by about $8 billion. The projection is only $20.1 spent on dads. The tie, it's still the most commonly purchased gift, even though our culture has shifted dramatically and dads get a tie and it's like, where am I going to wear that? Because they a lot of times don't even wear them to church for a service, for funerals, for weddings, for anything. And when this was a thing, Father's Day was the busiest day for collect phone calls. Not so much now, everybody's got cell phones and everything, but it was the busiest day for collect phone calls. That's real nice. Hi, Dad, I'll call and wish you a happy Father's Day, but you're going to pay for it. Really, really nice. Well, while keeping with the Father's Day message, as I said, along the same lines of Mother's Day, if you have fathered a child, then it is Father's Day for you. The only thing required for you to celebrate Father's Day is to be a dad. That's it. But we add that little word at the beginning of the phrase and we call it, work with me. Don't leave me just hanging. Happy Father's Day. If you're a dad, it is Father's Day. But is it a happy Father's Day? It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you got a card. It has absolutely nothing to do if some of that $20.1 billion was spent on you. It has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. If you are going to be a happy father, the Bible shows us that the weight of that really is on the kids. That's who determines whether or not dad has a happy Father's Day or is it just a Father's Day. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24, the very first part, we want to look this morning at how to have a happy Father's Day. It says in verse 24, the very first phrase says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Happy fathers have saved children. Happy fathers have saved children. There is no doubt that a Christian dad rejoices to hear that their child has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And maybe the dad has had the privilege of leading that child to Christ during family devotions, or maybe coming home from church. The kid says, "Dad, I heard this in church. I need to be saved." And so dad has the opportunity to lead that child to the Lord. That is an absolutely happy time for that dad. That dad is going to be about ready to explode, bust the buttons off of their shirt. They're going to be so thrilled. Or their kid comes out of Olympians, comes out of children's church, comes out of Sunday school and says, "I just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." What better of a thing could a dad be told from his child than that they just trusted Jesus as their Savior? That is an absolutely wonderful thing. However, dads and moms, this applies to you, but we're talking to dads. This all begins with you coming to know Christ as your Savior. Go with me back to the book of Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have the story of a miraculous jailbreak that takes place. We have a Philippian jailer who is ready to thrust a small sword through his abdomen. He is ready to kill himself because he thinks his prisoners have escaped. They come out of the shadows, and he says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.'" What's the next phrase? "And thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." A survey found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that everybody else in the house will follow. If mother is the first to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability that everybody else in the household will follow. However, when dad comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that statistic spirals upward quickly to 93%. There is a 93% probability that everyone in that household is going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because dad got saved? No, it has nothing to do with salvation by osmosis or by association with somebody that is saved. It is because when dad's life changes for the Lord Jesus Christ, it has a profound effect on the entire family. It is going to have that trickle-down effect. That's how important it is for dads to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be that spiritual leader in the home. But as we're talking about a happy Father's Day, first of all, dad's got to be saved. And when dad is saved and his kids come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that makes for a happy dad. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus called unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." You say, "Well, I don't believe a kid can be saved." Where in the world do you find that in the Scripture? My Bible shows that one of the greatest things, that the greatest responsibilities that we have is that of bringing the children to the Lord early in life. Not waiting till, "Oh, well, let's let them think about it for a while. Let's let them do this. Let's let them do that." No, we want to make sure that they come to know Christ as Savior early. How do we do that? By being faithful to share God's Word with them. And happy fathers have saved children. Now, here's the second thing. Happy fathers have wise children. Happy fathers have wise children. Go back to Proverbs chapter 23, and let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 23, we were in verse 24, just the first part of it. Let's look at the last part of it. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Let's look at some other verses here in Proverbs. Go to chapter 15, look at verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20. "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Go back to chapter 10, verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." One more, chapter 17, verse 21. And the Bible says here, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." when we have a happy Father's Day. If you have begot a fool, it's not a happy Father's Day. Father's Day, yes, because President Nixon said it was a holiday. But a happy Father's Day, not when you begot a fool. Man, that just sucks the joy right out of any dad's heart. And so wise children, that's what brings a dad to happiness. You know, the world applauds a kid getting straight A's in their classes at school, being the star of the team, and they can run and jump and catch and throw better than anybody else. They made it through college. They've landed a job that pays. They have a beautiful home. They live in a beautiful neighborhood. They have financial security. They've got all the bells and the whistles and the toys that money could possibly buy. And we say, oh, wow, that is success. Look at my successful child. But that doesn't make them wise. And from a Christian's perspective, that's not where we find joy at in our kids. Yeah, we're glad that they're not mooching off of the state and mooching off of our parents, right? I had a dad, he was telling me, not from church, but just another dad I was talking to, and it was on Friday, he wished me a happy Father's Day this weekend. And I wished it back to him and all that good stuff, and I says, where are your kids now? And he tells me about his four kids, tells me where they're at, scattered all over the United States. They're in good jobs. They are really making it well and all that kind of stuff. He says, best of all, they don't mooch off of mom and dad. And that's good, I guess. But that doesn't make them wise. None of that makes them wise. Success by the world standards. There's nothing wrong with having that success. But that success minus wisdom is not really success at all. There's got to be wisdom. So how do you know if that kid is wise that's going to make dad happy? Not a wise mouth, but how do you know the kid is wise? Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Let me give you some ways, and kids, you really need to be taking notes this morning. You need to be paying attention. Oh, by the way, aren't all of us somebody's kid? Okay. So it's not just, I know the 18 and under, they're going, why is he picking on us? Well, we're all somebody's kid. And so a wise kid, that's what brings a happy Father's Day. As you look here in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Back up to chapter 1 and verse 8 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. How many of you remember your dad saying to you, did you hear me? How many of you remember that? Some of you are saying, oh, I heard it just like that. It's like, whoa. Was your dad asking you if your ears were working at peak performance and able to receive auditory input? Is that what they meant? No. They wanted to know if something a whole lot deeper was paying attention. Are you getting what I'm telling you? Are you learning something from it? Are you teachable? Is your spirit teachable? If you have a child with a teachable spirit, that's a joy. If you have a child that is not teachable and they just know they know everything and you're dumber than a box of rocks, that is not a joyful experience. Joy comes when the child is teachable. You know, maybe the kid says, well, what does dad know? He's an antique. He's a dinosaur. He's a fossil. He's from a different era. This isn't how we live today. You know what? I know generations are different, but not a lot's really changed. Yeah, technology has changed. A lot of things like that has changed, but that has absolutely nothing to do with wisdom. The same basics that were going on 100 years ago are still going on today. You say, I knew he was that old. No, that's your grandparents. Grandparents, your parents, where you're at today, the things that were going on then. It is still at the basis the exact same thing. And as we look at our parents, we have got to come to a conclusion that they've been around longer than us. And they might know something that we don't know. Therefore, we should be teachable. That's where wisdom comes in. And when you have a wise child that listens and is teachable, that makes a dad rejoice. Take a look at something else. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, wise kids speak with wisdom. Wise kids speak with wisdom. In Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Haven't you ever run across that young person that speaks with such poise, dignity, maturity, a level that just is like, whoa, where did that come from? They talk to other people with that wise attitude, with a discerning spirit, with a listening ear and things like that. They're respectful. Doesn't that just flabbergast you? And you step back from that kid and it's like, wow. You know, the kids that are mannered, the kids that are polite, the kids that are respectful when their elders speak to them. You know what? I was taught, when your elders speak to you, you better speak back to them. You better not just walk by them. That's where they developed whiplash from. You know it? Because there was an era when a parent would jerk that child back to reality and tell them, don't you disrespect your elders. You talk to them. You respect them. It's like sitting at the feet of Moses kind of a thing. You listen to what they've got to say. When you find the child that is like that, doesn't that blow you away? And it's like, oh man, I wish there was a whole battalion of you guys, you know, if we could mass produce them. It's wonderful when they're like that. They weren't flighty, they weren't dingy, they weren't loud, they weren't boisterous, they weren't, you know, doing all those kinds of things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. You know, there's also great wisdom in knowing what not to say. Adults, do we ever have a hard time with that? Knowing what not to say? Proverbs 17, verse 28. The Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Wow. Knowing when and what to not speak is just as important as knowing when and what to speak. And a wise child that has a disciplined mouth brings joy to their parents, causes their dad to have a happy Father's Day. When they can look at that child and know that that child has a mouth that is respectful, that's a happy Father's Day, isn't it? Look at something else. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Wise kids are moral, and that makes a dad happy. Wise kids are moral, and that makes a dad happy. Proverbs 29 and verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 2, and it goes on till about chapter 6 of Proverbs, that talks about keeping immoral company and the lack of wisdom of the individual who does that. And the stress that you got to have wisdom. And you've got to exercise that in the company that you keep, that it be moral. You know, the United States of America still continues to have the highest teen pregnancy rates of any nation in the world. What we have done, and the proponents will say, oh, but the numbers are dropping. It isn't because we have become more moral. It is because we have learned better ways to become more cautious, more protected, so that we don't have that unwanted pregnancy, but we can still live the life of immorality. The United States is still the highest. By the age of 18, 55% of American teens have been sexually active, according to the CDC. 55%. 11% smoke, 25% drink, 50% have used or misused drugs, which includes prescription medications. This is just a sampling of the unwise, the immoral choices that kids have made. How in the world can a dad rejoice and have a happy Father's Day when a child is immoral. When a child is participating in the things that make for an unclean lifestyle, how in the world can they be happy with that? And to glibly say, oh, happy Father's Day, yeah, thanks. When they know that their child is in a position where they are inviting the judgment of Almighty God upon their life. Yeah, it's a Father's Day, but it's not very happy. I know it affects moms the same way. Much of the joy that comes in parenting. You know, as you look at the scriptures, people will say, well, you parents are too wrapped up in their kids. And yet, as I read through the book of Proverbs, I read that parents are supposed to be wrapped up in their kids. How else are you going to train them? How else are you going to teach them? And then when the child is unwise and you go back and you look at all that you did to try to lead them to be wise, and yet they're unwise. It's Father's Day, but not real happy. Therefore, you know what that means, kids? Live a moral, clean life. Live a moral and a clean life. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Here's the fourth thing that wise kids do that will give Dad a happy Father's Day. Wise kids wisely choose friendships. Wise kids wisely choose friendships. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Chapter 28, verse 7. Chapter 28, verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son goes before his dad and says, Dad, give me what is mine. And I someday, wouldn't you love to ask the prodigal father's son, why did you do it? You weren't dead. Why did you feel an obligation to give him anything? But he did. And the Bible tells us that that son took his inheritance and he invested it in riotous living, is how the Bible words that. Riotous living. Was the father, the prodigal son's father, if you had went up to him after his son had left the coop and now is living this kind of a lifestyle, and you went up to him and said, hey, happy Father's Day, prodigal son's dad. Would he have said, oh, thanks. Appreciate that. I am so happy. His son had not learned how to make good friendships. Wise kids wisely choose friendships. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and take a look at verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. The Bible tells us the first three words, be not deceived. Don't let anybody tell you different. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil, keeping evil company corrupts good morals. Put a rotten apple in a basket of good apples, and the rotten apple will get healed, right? No. The good apples are going to spoil even quicker. The ones that are the closest to that rotten one will rot quicker than the others. But the rot will spread. And we seem to understand that with fruit, but why don't we understand that with friends? Here's the argument I used when my dad told me to stay away from the wrong crowd because I was a very unwise teenager. Well, I thought I was wise. Dad was the one that didn't know anything. And when my dad would tell me to stay away from certain people, and I'd say, well, why? Why? And dad, he says, I can't tell you why. I don't know. But I've got a bad feeling about this. Stay away from them. Dad was 100% right, 100% of the time. He saw something I could not see. But here was my brilliant, super spiritual response to my dad when he told me that. I would tell dad, well, Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. How else are you going to win them to Christ? That's what a Christian's supposed to do. And it just made Dad mad. And I can still picture him as he just turned redder. He didn't know what to say, and the words are starting to, you know, come out like that. And finally he says, "You heard me." He could always say those three words really easy. "You heard me." And yes, sir, I did. But you know what? That argument is used by people today of why they should be able to hang out with anybody that they want to. And they will say, well, Jesus ate with the publicans and the sinners. He was called the friend of publicans and sinners. Why isn't it okay for me? Well, there is a difference between being friendly to and a friend of. And absolutely, we have to be friendly to. But you cannot be a friend of. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. You say, well, then how are you going to win them to Christ? Well, for starters, think about when Jesus went to dinner with these people. And it would always draw a crowd. You know what Jesus used the opportunity for? It wasn't for fellowship, because you know what? Fellowship means to have in common. What did Jesus have in common with them? Nothing. He was there to seek and to save them. So what did Jesus do with his opportunity? He used it as an opportunity to even call the guest, the host, to call the host on the carpet and to share with them truth and to preach. And when he would get challenged by the guests that had come, Jesus never once backed down from them. And when Jesus left the place, Jesus' attitude about the Pharisees and the Sadducees had not changed. He called them a generation of vipers. And he was right down the line with what he said about them. He didn't walk away or try to curtail what he was going to say. I get so tired of hearing people say this today. Well, this is how I believe. So let me just tell you how I believe. As if there is another legitimate way to believe. That's what that phrase says. This is how I believe. But you may not choose to believe that way. So you have that right to, you know, believe. Well, yeah, they do have that right, but they're wrong. I mean, flat out wrong. When Jesus came out of those dinners with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he didn't find the nearest garment shop and buy a new toga that had bigger tassels on the bottom because he wanted to look like one of them. Well, that's how I can win them. I'm going to start dressing and looking just like them. I'm going to get a big I heart Jesus tattoo right there so they know whose side I'm on. And on the other side, I'll get a big heart I love the Pharisees tattoo on the other side so they know who I'm with. That's the mentality today. Jesus said, come out from among the world and be separate, not like them. And when Jesus went into the place to witness to those individuals, it was not to form friendships. It was in hopes of relationship. And the only relationship would have been possible if they had repented and believed the gospel that he was the promised Messiah who has come to save them. That's how a relationship would have been possible. And you know, when they accepted Christ as Savior, they were marked individuals. They weren't brought back into the same group and go, oh, okay, so yeah, you're one of those and we're going to be tolerant of your belief and yada, yada, yada. No, it called for them to be in a separate category. And now it put a bullseye on them. That's what aligning yourself with Jesus does. The whole concept of wisdom and friendships. Wow. We need to get back to what the Bible teaches on that. Wise kids who choose wise friends will make Dad happy. They'll make him wipe the sweat off his forehead. Here's the last one as we close. Wise kids want more wisdom, which makes Dad happy. Wise kids want more wisdom. Go to Proverbs 29, verse 3. Again, where we have been a couple passages here. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Whoso loveth wisdom, once more of it. Back to chapter 23, verse 23. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 23. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, but he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. It's good to see a kid with a good appetite. Some kids are just finicky, picky eaters, and they turn their nose up at everything. I'd rather see that kid that likes to sit down and eat a good meal, wouldn't you? You know the kid's healthy and well. How much more important is it to see the child hungry for the Lord, hungry for God's Word, hungry for a walk with the Lord, hungry to be in prayer, to want to talk to the Lord, hungry for mom and dad's input in their life, and to take their problems to a mom and a dad. And when dad and mom give them instruction, you know, every child that rolls their eyes, wouldn't you just love to slap that head and see if you can make that roll quit? Dad and mom spoke again. Yeah. That isn't wise. That is unwise. That's not what God intended. Wise kids want more wisdom. You know what? God's promised to bless that. God has promised to honor that. God has promised to provide that. When that happens, you got a happy dad. This morning, so much of this message is intended for the child. Because you want dad to have a happy Father's Day, right? Oh, okay. All right, then it's up to you to give it to him. It is up to you to give it to him. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are living for the Lord, you're hungry for His wisdom, you have a wise demeanor, a wise speech pattern, you've chosen friends wisely, Dad's going to be happy with that. That's one of the greatest gifts you could ever give him. But if not, there's things you need to do to fix that this morning. But it's not so that you can make Dad happy. Maybe as a kid you're thinking, well, that may be what Dad wants, but that isn't what I want. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter what Dad wants this morning. What matters is what God wants. Because these things that we have talked about, yeah, they make Dad happy, but they're things that God wants out of your life. So it's more important that we please the Lord this morning, isn't it? And you please the Lord, Christian kid, by hungering for His Word and what is right. And you please the Lord this morning if you don't know Christ as Savior by coming to that broken point in your life and you say, I am a sinner and Jesus loves me and Jesus wants to save me. And I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life. That pleases the Heavenly Father. You know, it's amazing because think just from a parental role. If somebody hurts your child as a parent, the claws come out, don't they? And that's to be expected. The world hurt the Son of the Heavenly Father beyond anything that anybody's ever done to any of our kids. The world, past, present, and future, hurt the Son of the Heavenly Father. And yet, God still loves us. And that Son who was hurt on Calvary's cross by our sin still loves us and wants to save our soul. That is mind-boggling. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's for you. God loves you and wants to save your soul. Jesus Christ died for you. He paid the price, the penalty in His blood. He arose from the grave. He wants to come in and indwell you. He wants to live within you. But you have to open up the door today and let Him in. Would you do that? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, today, we've talked about a happy Father's Day. And we think about our earthly dads. But more importantly, we should want our Heavenly Father to be happy. The God who made us for His purpose, who made us full well knowing that only one would ever be created that came into this world without sin originally that'd be an Adam. But by that one man's sin, introduced sin on everybody else that would come into this world. And yet you love us. We pray that this would be the day of salvation for somebody. As we examine our hearts and our lives today as believers, we have decisions that we need to make for your honor and glory. And may we be willing to do that, Lord. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name.